This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, welcome back to The Bright Side and issue number... No, I'm just kidding. Welcome to Bright Side Home Theater, the podcast that's all about the sights, the sounds, the scenes, and this week, my anniversary. This is my two-year anniversary, and for those of you that cross over between my two podcasts, you'll understand that open. My guest today is one of my best friends, my co-host over on Bright Side Chat. And he hosted my anniversary show with me last week, helped me get my start in this home theater world. And I don't think we discussed that this year. But we started in home theater together, messing around way, way back in the 80s. But he helped, we started podcasting together, and we talk a lot about that. We talk home theater, reminisce about what it was like when we started out. With podcasting and, I just always love sitting down to talk with them. So this is my anniversary for the podcast. And I'd like to say thank you to all of my listeners for a great 2 years developing this podcast. I say it again later when I'm talking to John as well, because I really do appreciate each and every one of you, whether you comment or not, but everybody that comments, thank you so much. All my Patreon supporters, thank you so much. Everybody, you're all an integral part of this podcast. It makes sitting down here by myself like this just that much more fun. I mean, I knew I was going to have fun when I sat down the first time, but wow, sitting down week after week and just talking to you guys and then getting that feedback. But yeah, let's get into it. John's been very patient waiting in the green room. So let's get to it. John and I have a great conversation. I don't come back after that. So I say goodbye with John and have a great week, everybody, blah, blah, blah. So I'll say it again here. Thank you again. Thank you very much. And here's my conversation with John. We had so much fun, but thank you to everybody. It's been a great 2 years and hopefully many, many more. All right, let's get to that interview. It's not really an interview. It's two guys hanging out. Hey, John, welcome back to Brightside Home Theater. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me back. It only took a year, but that's probably more on me than it is on you.
Actually, yeah, you're right. You're right. Because I'm
sure if I texted you on any given week and said, let me come on your show,
John,
you'd let me come on.
That's a great open to this anniversary show. This is my 2 year anniversary of home theater, of Brightside Home Theater. I'm having you back because you were there my first year. You were there. You're the one that got me started in this. I mean, it was us together. I mean, it wasn't like you said, DJ, do a podcast.
It wasn't.
We were talking so much down at your place that we're like, let's do a podcast. So it was a joint effort on our part, but it was your encouragement, us going through what we went through with chat and the ropes and the learning and everything like that, that enabled me to be like, you know what? I'm going to sit down and do the home theater one by myself, which that was the chore. And it's kind of like, you know, kind of like Dick Grayson going without the net. And, you know, that's how people die.
Well, Chat was like the first child and, you know, got all the mistakes. And then this one is the second child. It was walking at 9 months, you know, eating solid foods.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, I know, because we started Chat. And I mean, hey. Thank you to all the listeners. We have a lot of crossover listeners now, and this is before we start reminiscing and getting into our whole whatever, we will talk home theater here too, but thanking the listeners. They've been fantastic. I mean, I didn't do home theater to get people to go to listen to chat and vice versa, but the crossover listeners that when we first started we wanted to do a home theater comics talk type thing. Right. And we just, even before we ever recorded, we started to mess around with it and test it. And we're like, it didn't flow well to us. Right. So we can't imagine what it would have been like if we put that
out. I don't know if anybody, if any of those ever made it to air. Like, has anybody else ever heard one of those?
Uh-uh.
No, just
no.
us, right?
No, because they were so bad. Remember?
They weren't good.
So
yeah, they weren't good.
Do you remember? We were so bad at this. We were so bad at this at the beginning. And we love talking about this stuff because I remember when we first started, I was sitting in my theater to record. I had a little table with a laptop right. on it. And I remember
at the kitchen table.
Yeah, you were at the kitchen table and we said, like, we're like, okay, we're going to record. And when we hit the record button, we both froze. like people were actually there. Like, we got stage fright, but I'm sitting in my theater. You're sitting at the kitchen table. And we're like, I don't know. What do you want to say? I don't know. So then we'd be so upset with ourselves. We'd go up, we'd call the next day and be like, yeah, that didn't sound right. That didn't go well. And we'd have this great conversation. And we're like, why can't we do this when we're recording? And it takes time. And
it
takes time to learn how to talk like this. And not that we're professional by any stretch of the imagination.
No, God, no.
But to be able to sit down and be able to do the home theater podcast, it was everything that you and I went through together. And you do have a home theater background, but just in the hobby like myself.
Right.
And if it was up to me, this would have been our two-man show to begin with. Brightside Home right. Theater, I would have had you with me because I didn't want to go by myself, but you don't have the time. And I'm like,
no.
And to be honest, doing one by yourself is a lot easier schedule because you just do it whenever you can. And
right.
it's not up to both people's schedules and stuff. So that helps. But you've been on, the first year you were on quite a bit. We did a lot of Star Wars talk. That's
this
what we're going to talk about.
This is the third or fourth time, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But yes, thank you to the listeners for 2 years of growth. And it's been awesome having so much fun. And you guys know, the ones that do cross over, you know John from Brightside Chat, where we talk comics. He's the owner of Arkham Comics and Games, comic
Thanks
book
for the
store.
Plug. Yep, yeah.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And you can find them on the website if you want to buy anything from Arkham Comics and Games.
You can.
You can. They have all sorts of comics and memorabilia and fun stuff like that. Just shop
and
around
games.
And games. There you go. And games. Yeah. John, the quintessential
I didn't bury the lead.
Salesman.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Put it right out there.
But yeah, so let's get to a little bit of home theater here.
Okay.
Do we want to let the cat out of the bag? I've been holding on to this one for a few weeks since I got that
yeah.
text about your little snafu with Odyssey EQ.
It kind of disqualifies me from being able to be on this podcast.
No, and that's why I think it's a great service because I'm wondering how many other people have done it and they don't even know it.
Yeah. Well, all right. So I guess to explain what happened, I have a modest home theater set up here at the house, and I have a Denon receiver that runs Odyssey for calibration, and I use the app, the
Odyssey
iPhone
EQ,
app,
yep.
rather than doing it manually through the receiver. And so,
yeah, it's the $20 app that you buy after the fact
right.
to.
Yeah, to do it basically through the phone. And, I've been doing it pretty much ever since I got the whole setup. Maybe the very first time I didn't use the app and I set everything up, but, I added a bunch of speakers and stuff since then. So for all intents and purposes, I've always used the app. And every couple of months I redo it. So I've done this at least half a dozen times, right, since I've had it. But, I do the calibration with the app. And for anybody that's ever used it, obviously you set up your mic and you take multiple readings around the room.
It's like eight readings, yeah.
You do eight readings. So at the end of each reading, it takes like a second and it uploads all the data that it just recorded. And it goes through, 10%, 20%, all the way to 100. And then you can start your next reading. I was under the impression that that was setting those levels while it was like that, that was the process of setting the levels. And so basically I ran through all my points and then I just shut everything down and thought that I had calibrated my system. And so,
and to be fair, and to be it still fair, sounded right, good.
Right. To be fair, it sounded pretty good. Like I didn't realize I was not getting great calibrations. It didn't sound a whole lot different each time I did it, but I just figured like I wasn't right. changing my setup that much, so it shouldn't really sound different. And then I started going down the YouTube rabbit hole recently because I really wanted to get
as
into
we all do
building a dedicated room, which I don't have. Like my setup is in my living room.
Yeah, it's a living room setup. Which, to be fair, that's kind of what Odyssey EQ is meant for. It's right. for that imperfect room, like where if you have a dedicated room, there's little or smaller tweaks to the system. Right. If you have sound absorption, you have good sound absorption. You have a dedicated room with it's a rectangle. Odyssey EQ doesn't have to do as much. But in a room like a living room where you have maybe some reflective noises and maybe a cove here and there where Odyssey EQ or in the case of your Atmos speakers, maybe not perfectly
they're not
placed.
Perfectly, right. They're not
Odyssey
in the prime
EQ
locations.
Odyssey EQ can compensate for some of that.
Right. So, yeah. So at going through YouTube, I came across, well, a lot of people recommended home theater gurus.
Mm-hmm.
Between YouTube and the Facebook groups that I joined, everybody said, you know, you got to watch Home Theater Gurus. So I started watching some of their videos, and they had one titled Odyssey EQ. And so I watched that, and it was about a half hour, and it was pretty informative. He did most of it manually through...
I'd say very after this.
Yeah, he did a lot of it manually through the receiver, going through what each step was. But then he had some old ones saved on his iPhone app too. So as he was going through that and he was going through all the different changes he makes, like what he turns on and the edits he makes. And then he says, when you get finished with all of this, you hit this little, you know, the share button up at the top and you send it all to your AVR to make all the adjustments. And that's when the light went on that I had never done that step. So I had never really finished calibrating my setup. And so I did that after this video. And I re-ran it again just so I had everything fresh. I made some adjustments based on, you know, what he said he does. And I uploaded it to my... or downloaded it, whatever, to my AVR. And it was night and day. Like, what I thought was good before wasn't really that good after all. I had pointed out a scene to you a few weeks ago from Midnight Mass that I thought was pretty good. Like I said, I already thought it was good. And yeah. I rewatched that scene with the new settings, and it was like, it blew me away, like how much better it was. And talked on chat earlier tonight about that scene from Invasion on Apple TV.
Yeah,
where
with the locust.
With the locusts come and kind of envelope the main character. And like it literally felt like I was sitting in the locust.
Yeah.
Like it was just so, so great. And, you know, I was really discouraged with my Atmos speaker placement because they weren't, you know, the guy that installed them didn't really do what I asked him to do. He kind of put them where he thought they should go. And I've never been that pleased with them because I never felt like I was getting any real response. I was getting anything
right.
out of them. And I noticed so much coming out of them the last couple days since I've done that. Because like you said, Odyssey corrects the distances and
yep.
it does all those corrections for
frequencies
you.
Frequencies so. That are, yeah. are shorter because of walls and, you know,
right.
issues that you're going to have. Odyssey can make up for a lot of that. Obviously,
right.
you want to have, you know, take care of your room as best as you can. But in a living room situation like you have, it corrects a lot of that. Especially
yeah,
if you have your ceilings are like 8, almost 9 feet, aren't they?
They're 9 feet. They're,
nine feet.
They're pretty high.
I wouldn't say your speakers are badly placed because it's at an angle. There's a certain, right. you know, range they can be in. And I'm sure they're right. in that range. It's just more of, they were a little too far away, and they probably needed to be boosted a little. So that's,
right.
you know, the Odyssey EQ will compensate for that.
Right.
And that's what you, you know, it, and you saw the difference. And
I did. So, you needless now, to say, I felt like a giant boner after that.
Because I wouldn't. Not at all, because that's something that I talked with Tom about it last week on, and I mentioned it to him. I don't even know if I recorded it. Tom Andrew and I recorded with him last week. I don't know if that was in the podcast or we just talked about it after the fact, but it's one of those things that you kind of take for, like, I didn't tell you. I've done Odyssey EQ a million times, but at the same time, unless you're somebody that goes back and goes, let me download this one, then I'll upload this one, then I'll upload, that way you can compare them back and forth. Whereas you were always just going to the, all right, I'll just give it a checkup and give it the new setting, right?
Right.
But I like to tinker. I like to mess with it and like, okay, this is what it used to sound like. Let me upload that one. Now I'll go back to the, oh yeah, that's different. It, you know, it's funny that it's something that most people would consider common sense, but then at the same time, it's not. And it was never specifically said to you, so why would you know? Like you said, your assumptions weren't invalid. And that's why I think it was great to get it out in the podcast to be like, I wonder how many other people have done that.
I don't know, man. Maybe I helped one other person, and then I feel vindicated.
Yeah. If you've helped, I'm sure. I know in my what did I do? I did one. This wasn't one like I forgot or I did something wrong. I did an entire review of one of my diehard reviews, one of the years, and I was talking about, Joe and I were talking about how good the bass was and everything. Right. And then come to find, and Joe was in the podcast. That was my my Christmas one that I do with Joe, and he's like, "Ah, I didn't really notice." I go, "Oh, I felt it was great. I'm sitting in the prime spot." Come to find out, the next day on my Y splitter for my subwoofers, one had fallen off.
Oh, really?
So I was only running one subwoofer, which happened to be the rear subwoofer, which is behind me. So he's sitting next to me. He's not getting the same frequency response that I'm getting, but I was only running one at the time. And then I plugged it in. I was like, oh, now my room sounds really good. But little things happen that you didn't even
know. They do. They happen. Yeah.
It's technology. And that's what makes it so much fun. But yeah, so let's talk about that scene from Invasion.
Yeah.
That one scene, but I don't have a timestamp on it, but it's, if you've seen.
I don't either, but it's fairly close to the end of the show.
Of the first episode.
Of the first episode, yeah.
Excuse me.
Or maybe, maybe like 2/3 of the way through it. Because he goes there and then he goes back later at the end of the show. But I think this is when he's there in the.
Right.
It's Sam
Neill, and he's in the field, and then like some locusts come at him, and he's in the pickup truck at first.
Right.
And then he has to get down on the ground. But I think what makes that scene so great is, first, you have the high pitch of all the low. That
it actually got a little painful.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, so you it wasn't great.
But. Yeah, you get the high pitch of that. But then as they actually come in, they swarm your room, fill the whole room. Your overheads are completely engaged. But it was those little bass notes of the locust hitting the truck that I thought were like very, not punctual. What's the word I'm looking for? That's like, boom, popping.
They accentuate. Yeah. Like,
and it just really felt like your walls were being hit. Like you were in it. And it was like, dum, 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 dum. And it really, and it's the, that's the bass that really amazes me. It's one thing. And like you and I were talking earlier, how you don't get that big thump that you want because it's your setup, it's your room. We could talk about that in a second, but even those, the bass notes that you get, those little tiny individual bass notes, those are so much fun because they're like, how does the subwoofer, or how does it do it? It's like so fast, but you're still like, it's so cool.
I don't know. Those sound engineers are pretty incredible. That the people that put those things together are amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
I remember watching all that stuff growing up and how they like make different noises, like the, you know, it's not actually the horse galloping across the field.
Yeah, they it's not really a locust hit. Yeah, there's no locust hitting your truck.
Right. They do something. They figure out different noises, a lot like Jurassic Park. And they said, like, all right, we're going right. to mix these animals to create a dinosaur noise. But yeah, it's very, very creative. Very, I mean, they just mix everything up and it just sounds so good. And it really just, obviously, it's part of why we love home theater to begin with. Yeah. It's just like
but
being
enveloped. It's one of the most immersive scenes that I've been in. Well, especially since I calibrated my system correctly. But like even the storms and things that are known for being, you know, great Atmos scenes, that one scene I thought was like just fantastic.
Well, you
and like I said, it was a little painful because it was a little high pitched. Like I'm surprised my wife put up with it and didn't make me turn it down.
Right.
But
you have to go back now and watch Hurricane Heist again.
Yeah, I know. I have to watch a bunch of things again. I'm going to go put on, you know, Interstellar and, you know, all these good things. And but yeah, maybe Hurricane Heist again just to see.
Oh, yeah, that's that is what I imagine Twister is going to be like when we get an Atmos or a DTSX version of that, which
right.
I've heard is coming pretty soon, I hope.
Hopefully, yeah, because that's a great one.
Yeah, yeah, it's... But yeah, so we were also talking earlier about your subwoofer situation.
Yeah.
And so you have, tell everybody how, you have three.
I have three subwoofers in my room. Yeah. I have, two of the, what are they? The SVS PB2000s, I think. This, the tall cylinder.
PC.
The
tall, PC2000s.
PC, yeah, PC2000s. I've got two of those on the front soundstage, and then I've got, SVS, the PB12. Which is a 12-inch sub, and that's kind of behind
my right. Yeah,
that's
the older model that you've had for years.
I've had it for a long time, and actually it was, you know, I took it off, and it was just in my closet. I wasn't even using it, and I was using the two PC2000s, like, diagonal across the room. And then, I don't know, I just kind of stumbled into the closet one day and saw it sitting there. And I'm like, why am I not using it? Like, there's
right.
no reason for this thing not to be in use. It's just sitting here. It's still, you know, it's still a good sub. So I, you know, moved the other one back to the front and plugged this thing in. And yeah, so I mean, I've got, you know, pretty powerful subwoofer situation happening in my room.
Right.
But you know, like we were talking about earlier, it's an open floor plan living
right.
room, kitchen / living room. So, like, even if I close the door to my bedroom, like, even if I close some doors off or whatever, which I try to do, it's just such a big wide open space that
right.
I just can't get the
sound,
like,
pressurization
the bass response.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just can't get the bass that I want in that room. You know, I've tried different calibrations. Like, even you and I mentioned briefly, you know, I might look into one of those mini DSP things and see if that's going to help at all. But I don't know that anything I do, even professional calibration, is going to come in and really be able to solve that problem, because I just don't have a rectangular pressurized room, you know.
High ceilings.
So,
it's, I mean,
yeah,
you got a
like
lot
said,
of
high
cubic
ceilings.
Footage there.
And that's... again, I've got, you know, I've got a, there's a sofa and there's curtains and there's an area rug, but I mean, it's hardwood floors. It's tile kitchen floors. You know, it is not the optimal setup for, you know, for home theater.
Right.
It's just what I, you know, it's what I can do. So I've done, you know, I do what I can to make it as good as it can be, but, you know, I'm going to have to live with some limitations.
Yeah.
Because it's just the way it is. But yeah, I just like, don't get me wrong. Like, there's some scenes where, like, it'll shake my walls. Like, the bass goes through the house.
You have the power to shake your walls.
But I don't really feel it. Like, I don't
right.
feel it in my chest. I don't feel that thump. I don't get that.
Right. Well, that comes
like
from
that
pressurization.
Wow.
You've right. got to, you know, you've got to, you know, fill the room. And for you to fill the room with that kind
yeah,
of pump,
I'd need 15 subs. You know, I mean,
yeah, and it would probably
no
blow the windows open.
Probably.
Like, so that's why I was saying, like, the idea of actually putting the, you know, the transducers,
bass shakers
yeah. in your sofa, it would add to that. I mean, you right. you have enough power in the room to get the sound, but
oh,
to
for
get
sure.
the, to get that feel. I think it would go a long way for your experience, and I think for Lydia's too. I think she would actually, because then you wouldn't have to, if you, even if you don't get the reference level, but you tune those bass shakers to the point that it's like, you know what? It wouldn't be painful to her, and she would be able to, you'd be able to feel it. It gives you that added experience to, I mean, I honestly think some people consider them gimmicks, but I think they're in a situation like yours, I think they're perfect.
And yeah, they may work, you know. I'm definitely going to look into it.
I think in your situation, if you didn't tell somebody, they would think you just had great bass response in your
room. They wouldn't know. Right?
Yeah, they'd just be like, especially the way your couch is situated and everything, and if you could get that couch, get the feel in that couch, people would be like, whoa, because you don't know that that's what it is.
Right. Nobody's going to be laying on the floor looking up underneath my...
So I think that would add to your experience. And, again, that would make you just go back through all the movies again.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, let's see. What else? What else? Oh, we've talked about... I'm going through all my movies right now because of the Lumigen. And
yeah,
that makes movies and streaming and everything like that. And it's,
I'm a little jealous there, but I don't know that it would affect my TV as much as it does your projector.
Everything that I've read about them leading up to my purchase was they really are geared towards projectors.
Right.
Like highly recommended to the point that, I mean, the owner of the company says you should get one of these when you get a projector. But a lot of other people were saying it as well, to the point that if you can afford a certain, like, say you have a budget for a projector, include this in it and then you get a cheaper projector.
Right. Get a lesser projector and get the Lumigen.
Right.
Of course, that's the guy that owns Lumigen telling you to do that. So.
Yeah. I would say if you're in the market for a $10,000 projector, that's kind of the ballpark, because the Lumigen's going to cost you probably $5,000 to $6,000, but then you get a $5,000 projector. You're kind of in my experience, I experienced my projector for 2 years without it.
Right.
Had it calibrated, and I thought what I had was an awesome image. Then I added the Lumigen, and the experience that I've been having since then is nothing short of amazing. And I'm not here to sell product. I'm not here, you know, that's not what I do. It's just, but having gone through what I go, you know, my career, not a career, but my time in home theater, is having seen all my images all these years and having so much fun going back through the first day I had it. And I'm looking at all of, like, going through Star Wars, going through all those different images that I watch, and I'm like, I didn't know that was there. There's stuff like the opening scene to Avengers. Remember the first Avengers movie, and Coulson, they're at S.H.I.E.L.D., and Coulson's got what looked like, the first time I saw this movie, I always thought he was wearing a blue shirt.
Right.
Then you come to find out as progress, you get a better picture. Oh, it's not a blue shirt. It's a blue shirt with white stripes in it. And you see those white stripes and you're like, oh, wow. Well, what I'm seeing now, it's neither.
Oh, yeah.
It's blue stripes and white stripes.
Oh,
there's
really?
Actually, there's stripes inside that. You're like, there's so much more detail there. The Matrix, the opening scene of the Matrix, there's actually, you know, when they do that and they have all the scrolling going, the green numbers are going down. There's actually like charcoal black, very dark numbers in the, behind those.
Right.
That I could never see before.
Right. You never see them.
And but you didn't know what you're missing.
Right. You don't know that they're there because you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah. And it just heightened everything, and you want to go back through and see all of this stuff.
You want to watch every movie again.
Yeah, just jumping scene to scene to scene and just enjoying it. And that's basically what I've been doing for 30 years. That's what we've been doing. Right. But, you know, you get something, you recalibrate or figure out you've calibrated for the first time.
Right.
And you're like, hey, let me try this. And it's a lot of fun, but it's not a cheap product, but
no,
it definitely,
well, it's not a cheap hobby. So
no, I mean, and that's
if you're into this, it's not about the money. You know what I mean?
No.
I mean, obviously, we all have limitations with the amount of money we have, but
right,
it's not a hobby for, it's not for the weak. Let's put it that
right
way.
Well, I've sacrificed a lot. I mean, I'm right. Like, I've given up on other things. You're like, oh, right. I like, it's so funny. I've had friends that have had like, it, or smokers. They're like, you know, I'm like, well, you know, yeah, what? How much you could have?
It's a $20 a day habit.
Right. You know? And it's like, oh yeah, well, how do you do that? Like my buddy, he's a smoker. He's a fisherman. He does it. He buys boats. He buys all this stuff. And he's like, he comes in, sits in my theater. How do you afford all this? What are you kidding me? He's got a $40,000 bass fishing boat and he smokes and dips. And I'm like, if you got rid of your dipping habit, you could have a home theater. Like,
right.
That's even more expensive.
Right. And, it's just all about where you prioritize. Yeah.
It's like, I mean, I love kids, but I stopped at 2 so I could have a home theater.
There you go. There you go.
Not like you.
That's why you don't have 10 grandkids.
I know.
That's why I don't have a dedicated room, because I have 10 grandkids.
Yeah. That collection behind you is quite the collection.
Well, that's true too. That's half a theater room right there.
There you go. But yeah, so any other good scenes you've seen lately? This being the anniversary show, I got to have you back more often and do movies.
Yeah, well, I don't know, nothing that comes to mind. I mean,
let's get a little bit to, we got to touch on Star Wars, because that is our jam. Everything seems to devolve or evolve into a Star Wars
back
conversation.
To Star Wars. Yep.
You haven't seen it recently. I touched on it a little bit before the show. Return of the Jedi, because last year we talked Empire. I opened my show talking Star Wars. Because that's the show that's pretty much affected our lives, and it's why you and I are here today. So we won't rehash that. But Return of the Jedi.
Well, besides what my parents did.
Boy. Here we go. Here we go. All right. We're getting into bright side, dark side here.
Yep.
All right. All right. We're going to bring out some audio from the other podcast.
Oh, my.
All right. So, see, you got me all discombobulated.
I know. I got you all flustered.
All flustered here. So, What did you think? We'll revisit this a little bit. The entire collection. What did you think of and I always call them the first three, the original trilogy, when it got released in 4K. What did you think of?
Well,
and Jedi.
Well, I thought the original three movies benefited the most from the 4K transfer. You know, like I thought they were the most improved, and I think they looked the best. You know, even
do you?
Well, it's hard to say, because like the new trilogy, obviously it was shot with modern equipment and it looks pretty good. But I thought they looked better than the prequels.
Yes,
and like I said, obviously benefited the most from the 4K transfer. So, as far as all three, you know, as far as whether Jedi looks better than A New Hope or whatever, I think they were all on par. Like, I don't think Jedi was any better or worse than the other two. But,
okay. I thought, you know, for one reason or another, I thought Star Wars was the best one. But that might also be my bias to A New Hope.
Right, because we both think it's the best, you know.
Right.
Even though it's not technically the best movie of the bunch, it's still always going to be number one.
It's,
you know, at least for me.
Exactly. You know? We've had that discussion. We've had numerous times, sometimes just hanging out. Right. But yeah, I think they all benefit. And it's funny because of the different ways they were shot, not shot, but I'm sorry, the environments that they were shot in. You have Hoth looks fantastic now.
Yes.
But So does the jungle theme that you end up with on Endor.
Right.
That looks fantastic. The greens, the lush greens,
it looks great.
Speeder chase.
It really looks great.
All of that. It looks great. I just felt maybe that's what it is. It's just when those things are going on, I'm just not as into the movie. itself.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just, I like the movie, but I'm just, Hoth, I love Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, well, the whole Endor Ewok situation is not the best.
Yeah, but. That was where, what was it, on chat we were talking about how Star Wars was geared towards kids. And that was the first, almost like Empire was geared towards adults almost.
Right.
It was scary. I mean, you've got, you know, Luke, I am your father. You've got maybe some incest going on. We didn't know it. Almost Game of Thrones-ish.
And they, it was,
if they'd
yes.
gone in a different direction, we could have had Games of Thrones.
It was Game of Thrones before Game of Thrones.
Yeah, exactly. And
but yeah, this was the first time it really felt like it was aimed at kids. And selling toys. Because, you know, not to get into the history of Star Wars, but, you know, George Lucas's original idea was that it was Wookiees. You know,
and right?
It was on Kashyyyk, and it was Wookiees, and you know the studios wanted to sell toys. You know, they wanted something a little bit more kid friendly, and that's where the Ewoks came from. So that was really the first time in the trilogy where I felt like merchandising informed the story. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but I think in like. The home theater environment, you have desert, you have Hoth, and then jungle. And
well, and you have swamp, too, because, like, Empire has the Dagobah.
Yeah, you have a little bit of Dagobah.
It's dark, but, I mean, you still get the detail. Like, it looked
There's
the
a
4K
lot more
detail there, yeah. right, as opposed to, you know, I mean, maybe when we were kids and we saw it in the theater, it was there, but we didn't notice it.
Next to, I'm like, okay, I forgot to go check that scene with the new Lumigen. Okay, let me write this down.
Yeah.
Go check out Empire.
go check out Dagobah.
Cave scene.
Right.
It's like, but yeah, they all did benefit. I thought, and I know we already talked Star Wars, or I did anyways, but Star Wars in the desert, it used to be so grainy.
Right.
The way it looked. And it looks so much better. It's so much cleaner now. And you and I
can count all the grains of sand.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, exactly.
So, I'm still going, but I can do it.
Yeah. You've always said, like, you don't even like the movies as they are now. But
I
the
don't.
Fact that they're restored is you've got to prefer watching them that way.
I do. I have the Star Wars despecialized editions.
I do as well.
Which are my preferred versions of the movie. And those, I got those prior to the 4K release of the, you know, the Star Wars box set. And I actually was very happy with those. Like, I thought they looked great. They sounded great. I mean, obviously they're not Atmos, but I mean, they looked and sounded great. Like, I got those and I had kind of resolved myself that was going to be the way I was going to watch Star Wars going forward anytime I wanted to watch it. But, you know, obviously the 4K set came out and there's six other movies in addition to the original trilogy in there that weren't, you know, altered by special editions. And so I was always going to buy that set. There's no way I wasn't going to buy it. And after watching them, you know, in the 4K restoration with Atmos...
Reluctantly.
I mean, it is like that. That is still, they're better, you know, because they look better and they sound better. And
yeah.
I, you know, I have to put up with Han Solo stepping on Jabba's tail and, the guy singing in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
But
Greedo shoots first.
Yeah. McClunky. I have to put up with McClunky. But they are still, they're just superior.
Like, they're so good.
I can't imagine them. I mean, at some point we'll have 8K and then we'll have 12K or whatever. But I can't imagine them being better. Like, there's just feels like they've kind of.
By the time they're better, our eyes will be worse. So it's a push.
The problem is they're so good now that it's like going back and watching remastered footage from like the old Star Trek show. Like, it's so good now that you see the flaws.
Right.
Like, I don't think you want them to be any better.
Yeah.
Because you can literally see them standing in front of the paintings of the Millennium Falcon. And, like, it's so obvious that I don't want it to be any clearer than that, because you almost want it to dial back down again. Let's go back to 2K so that...
You know, in Jedi, this is in Jedi, I was just watching this earlier. One of the opening scenes when they're in Jabba's palace and they bring in 3PO and R2, and they're now like owned by Jabba. So they're taking them to the back room to like where they kind of Jawa them. Like they did.
Right. They give them the restraining bolts and all that stuff.
And you see that one that they flip over and they're going to like brand his feet.
Right.
Remember that? And you can hear the little guy scream. He's like an R2 type unit, like a dumpster with legs.
Right. You can hear him screaming. Trash can with legs. Pain.
He goes, and he's screaming and his legs
feel pain.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Like, who programmed that? Because if I could, if I could get rid of that program in me, I'd much stronger for it. But when the branding irons come down on him, they never touch his feet, but you see the steam shooting out of his feet up into the air. And it's like, I mean, John, it's like he's like an inch and a half away. It's like not even close. And then it's a later shot where they actually were down a little lower and they do it again. And it actually looks natural because it because of the angle, you see that it's not touching, right? And so you know it's a little. This is like it's like dead on, and you're looking at it going, he's not touching him yet, and
he's screaming and he's got steam coming up.
The same thing happens in Terminator 2, and you know in Terminator 2 when Schwarzenegger walks naked into the bar.
Yeah.
And he's like, give me your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle. And then he's like, no. And he throws that guy from the pool room, and he throws him through, like, the chef window or whatever, and the guy lands on the stove. And if you look, his hands are going up and down on the stove, and you can see the jets that are shooting the smoke out. The steam out. The same thing that's going on here in Jedi, they're doing. Right. And this guy's going, and it's like it's shooting the steam out, and you're like, that's kind of ruined now. I thought he was really burning his hands.
Exactly. I thought he was method acting. He's like Christian Bale.
But yeah, there's a lot of that going on, and I think
that's because these things were never intended.
No.
40 years ago, 50 years ago, they never thought people would be able to look at these things with that kind of clarity and detail, you know?
Well, I used the Jaws one. I told you that one where the shark has the Sharpie
it's like a
eye.
Sharpie, yeah.
Like, it's like, oh my, it's clear as day that it's drawn on there. And you're like,
right.
But you can't blame them.
Right.
But it's like.
Because it was 40 years ago, 45 years ago, you know?
But what's funny is that's what I was going to say is that's why I think, like you said, the original trilogy looks really good in 4K. The sequel trilogy, the last three, those obviously were shot with this technology, and they do.
Right.
They look and sound fantastic, I think. It's the first three where they're kind of in the middle.
Yeah, I thought they were the worst. Like, they actually suffered a little bit from the from the upgrade.
Because we were upgrading, and we're getting to see, like, they did a little bit of, like, Yoda's digitized instead of, whereas the puppetry in the first one, the 4K, you just kind of like, wow, that looks good. And they're like,
right.
And I'm sure they cleaned it up, too, digitally. So you get the best of both. Whereas, I don't know, those are that original trilogy, especially some of those long shots of the fields and stuff, they just didn't look natural enough. And it kind of really suffered. Though and
we talked like when we were going through these a year ago and we talked about each movie, I know we talked about that with the prequels. There was a lot of scenes in Coruscant in like Palpatine's office and things where they like look so much like just cardboard cutouts.
It's like
this looks so bad.
Yeah. You know? And it kind of takes you out of it. And
it does.
But at the same
time, that's why I'm saying I don't want them to keep like they don't need like 8K or 16K or whatever, because then you're going to, like at 16K, you're going to be able to see the hand up inside Yoda. You know, it's just like, I just don't need to see that, you know.
Star Wars starring Jim Henson.
Yeah. So, you know, if content is created in 16K or 8K or whatever, it's going to look fantastic. But these things weren't meant to be seen that way. So,
no, but
I don't know.
It's so funny because you come to a point with, of, you know, diminishing returns. And a lot of it is done now. Like when you get to 8K, I think actually anything over, we're already there.
There's 4K is already about as high as you can go.
Yeah, because like unless you're getting into like a projector size, at 65 inches, I don't think you can distinguish. Your eye can't distinguish 2 from 4K.
Right.
You know, so getting to 8K, what's the difference? Right. But where the technology to me is going to be important is if you can get to 16K, you can shoot it in 16K. And now you can manipulate that, blow that up, and do what you want and put it out in 4K. And you can shrink things down and you can...
Right.
You can do a lot more with the imagery that you've shot in that 16K. Displaying it in 16K, I don't think that's as important.
Yeah. No, but like you said, when you're at 150-inch screen or things like that, then you know obviously you'll be able to still see some difference. But on any kind of LCD or OLED TV at 85 inches or whatever, you're not going to be able to tell the difference. So
yeah, it's going to be more, honestly, I think it's more about the HDR and that's the technology that we can get. And again, like I was saying with the Lumigen, that's what the Lumigen's doing. It's just
tone mapping,
giving me the ability to have, to see everything that I can possibly see on a 110-inch screen.
Right.
Whereas you could do that with an OLED, but not at 110 inches. And now you can get that. And if they can improve that technology, that's what'll be good for the masses. I think that's what's going to be. But how do they market that? Because they can market numbers. But how do you go HDRR? HDR or, it's hard to sell that
to people. We
already
have HDR Plus. we have HDR 10.
Yeah, HDR 10.
We have HDR 10 Plus. So it's going to be Plus Plus. And then,
Dolby
Vision.
And it's nobody can decide on which one. Like the idea of Dolby Vision, I was talking with Rob H. about this the other day, and we were saying like Dolby Vision is great if everybody used it, because that's the tone mapping. So if every product had the Dolby Vision, it would send a clear definition of what it needs to do for tone mapping, and you wouldn't need to have Lumigens or a Panasonic 820 to get it to work a certain way. But of course, that's not going to happen because not everybody's going to agree and people want to make money their way. And it's like, well, Dolby did it. Well, I'm going to do it better this way. So nothing's ever worked in one particular way. Why would that be the case on this, on this one? So,
well, again, until there's a winner, there was HD discs and there was Blu-ray, there was Betamax and there was VCR, or VHS. So if there's a way for one of them to become like a clear winner, then that's what we'll have.
But you know what's funny is in a lot of the cases, the one that's better is the one that loses.
Right. Because I thought HD, I had an HD DVD player and I thought it was better than Blu-ray.
Yeah. Yeah. I had them both. And I can't say that HD DVD was better looking and sounding. It had far less issues. Blu-rays, I had them both, and the Blu-rays, the early Blu-ray players, you put a disc in, and it was like, go get yourself some popcorn by the time this bad boy loaded up the movie, right? There was bad load times. It wasn't until, I think, the PS3, which was basically a gaming computer, that was able to speed up the load times.
That was the best Blu-ray player on the market.
On the market, yeah.
That's why I bought one. That's how I convinced my wife to let me buy one.
There you go.
then I got some games, but I told her.
Yeah.
And honestly, I wasn't lying, but that's why I wanted it. It was to play, was for Blu-rays.
Yeah.
You know?
I've got listeners now that they're saying, just got a hold of a PS5, so now I can get 4K discs.
Right.
And they're getting it through that. It's, gamers coming in. Sony's not stupid. They're very good at selling content, and they're very good at producing their content, too. Some of the best movies, IMAX Enhanced, their movies are coming out. They're looking to push the envelope in home theater. There's very few discs that I know of. I can't even think of one off the top of my head that I would think of like a Thor Ragnarok that didn't come out good. From Sony, they all come out really good. Like Venom, the Spider-Man movies. The studio, Sony Studios, their stuff comes out. Their discs always come out really good. I can't think of one.
Right.
Listeners are probably like, "What about this one?" Okay, maybe I was wrong.
Maybe. Right.
But yeah, pushing that envelope. I don't know. Couldn't it get better? Maybe. But I because watching Jedi again, and even the lightsabers now, the lightsaber, seeing that every year, and I always go back to Star Wars, but even in Jedi, with when he first lights up the green lightsaber, yeah. And remember what that was like. It's like, what? Why is it green?
Right.
It's like, and I know you know the story why it's green now, right?
It was all about the...
backdrop
and having it stand out, right? Having it stand out against the backdrop,
the blue sky and the desert
right.
floor. And it was like, well, if we do the blue one, it might get lost in the sky, so let's do the green one. But then there's Star Wars lore, isn't it? Wasn't it supposed to? You might know that one better than me. I know that there was something about it people had made up,
right? Well, there's a reason. You know, he has to build a new lightsaber because he lost his hand and his lightsaber in Empire.
Yeah.
And so, well, that's true if you look at the comics. But yeah, there was some kind of reason that in the story why it was green. I don't remember it. But going back to why they didn't just give him another blue one, because I think that's all we had seen, right? We'd only seen blue and red.
Yeah.
In the first two movies, so to even think that there was another color option available was like, what's going on here?
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah, that was, it was all new to us, and it was, well, even the only one to have purple was Samuel Jackson, and he requested it.
Right, but you didn't get other colors
until
the prequels. You know, because when you see those long shots with all the Jedi, I think there's white and yellow or something. You know, there's all kinds of colors in there. But.
Right. Yeah, they've added in the white one. The white's the latest one.
The whites were Ahsoka.
Was that Ahsoka? What did Rey have at the end? Did she have
yellow?
Or yellow? That's what
it was. Yellow.
Yeah. Had anybody had that before? I don't think so.
I think some random nameless Jedi, like in those scenes, like I said, I think there was other colors in there. But
yeah, like in Clone Wars.
Ahsoka were white. Her second sabers were white because she wasn't a Jedi or a Sith. You know, she was, you know. But, and I don't know anybody else that has white. But I don't know. Back to the green.
Back to the green.
We digress. See what happens.
See what happens. We could go off. Getting back to the movie though, and how I think, like, I didn't remember watching Jedi. I found that there were some soft parts. They were like at the end, watch when they're, for me anyways, I felt like the Emperor. So you have that scene when he's sitting on his like throne and you have the window kind of behind him and space and everything, and all the window and everything looks great. And he kind of looked a little out of focus.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, but the window looks very sharp. Like you could see all the panes. You could see the bars that are holding the windows in place. Obviously, you could see the stars in the sky behind him.
Well, and there's the battle. There's a battle happening behind him, right? So.
Yeah. There was that. But he felt like that felt a little bit soft. But then at the same time, there was great detail much earlier in the movie when they show Luke coming in from the desert. You know, Jabba's palace opens up and he comes in and you have that bright light coming in behind him.
Right.
And when we grew up watching this movie, it looks like he's wearing this heavy robe.
Right.
But you watch it now and the robe's like practically see-through.
Oh,
because, you could see the light coming through around his neck and everything. And it's a very light material that we could never see that before. It just, there's so much more being exposed because, you know, we didn't have those capabilities. I'm sure, obviously, it was on the film.
Right. It was filmed that way, but we never saw the displays we got.
Yeah. And going to the movies. And being able to see that in a movie theater that had a great system, a great projector, and a great projectionist to be able to play this for you and be able to see it without, you know, we didn't notice that stuff.
Again, and the quality of theaters 40 years ago weren't that good either. You know, they were probably using 40-year-old equipment 40 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it was just, they weren't about the presentation. Which is funny because Star Wars is what kind of facilitated theaters to start upgrading sound and and projections. But prior to that, it was just like you got whatever they had in the old theater in your town. You know,
Two-channel, four-channel sound, and that was
it. There was no upgrade, so it was no anything, so... Even those details, if they were there, you weren't going to see them.
No, and that was to get stock. Didn't you have to get 70 millimeter, get the 70 millimeter cut? You had to have the, what was it, six channels, eight channels? I talked about it the first, my first year.
Well, THX, whatever they had.
Well, it wasn't, it was Dolby Surround.
It wasn't Dolby Surround.
THX came out with, in the 90s, I thought. THX,
yeah.
Lucas.
Yeah, it was the 90s. But yeah, you had to have the
Dolby Surround. You had to have the upgraded sound, Dolby Surround, and all of that, and to be able to get the 70 millimeter, the good 70 millimeter cut. Otherwise, you just got, I believe it was the 35 millimeter or something like that, whatever it was. You got the
But how many theaters in those times didn't care? Like they were fine with the 35 millimeter,
right? But I want to say that before I used to know these numbers off the top of my head, but when Star Wars started out, there were like 10 theaters. And then after Star Wars, around the country, it was like 70 theaters had 70 millimeter capabilities. Right. So Star Wars did help spread that and get people to notice this stuff. And then, of course, you know, jumping ahead to the 80s, it birthed people like myself and in home theater. And then once we were able to take this in with VHS in the home and you want to re-experience that. And I think it's movies like this and at the time it was only a trilogy, but trying to be able to recreate that in the home. And a lot of, like we said before, it's like the sound designers and stuff. Right. How many of these sound designers started just kind of like what we're talking about right now, just wanting to recreate stuff and do stuff like what they did with Star Wars?
Right.
And I mean, look at everything they're doing now with Star Wars and Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau and they want to recreate stuff that Lucas did. They want to do that. And the same with the sound designers and home theaters. And I mean, we joked about like, oh, you got to go back and watch Hurricane Heist. Are we really into Hurricane Heist if it wasn't for Star Wars? We are, you know, because like I said, when I recommended that movie and I told you about it and you ran right out and bought the 4K disc.
I sure did.
Got it. It was sitting on your doorstep. You didn't
sitting
even
right
know.
Right on my door. Yep.
But I said, I'm like, am I right? I'm like, this is just leave your brain at the door. But you're going to enjoy the hell out of this thing as a home theater fan. And that sometimes... In the case of A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back, things meld, and you get a great story and a great home theater experience.
Right.
And other times, you get Hurricane Heist.
Right. But think about it as a home theater enthusiast. How many movies do you think are great that are terrible movies, but they have good sound in them?
A lot.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So, I'll recommend this movie because it has a great Atmos mix or whatever.
Right.
It doesn't matter that the movie is crap, you know?
Right.
But you'll sit through bad movies if it's just to get the sound experience.
Yeah.
And I mean,
any Mark Wahlberg feature.
Right.
No, I like Mark Wahlberg movies.
I do too. But
yeah, it's like, and I only thought of that because he ended up in the Transformers franchise,
right?
Which a lot of people say about the Transformers franchise,
right?
You know, it's all just about what we love. Right. And we were talking before we started recording about sitting and listening to music, and you were talking about have I tried it in my theater? And it's Dolby Atmos, you know,
Dolby
Apple
Atmos
TV,
music,
Atmos music, and it is fantastic. But I'm not one to sit and just listen. I need something else. And like, I need to be able to see something. Like just right. music on itself, I can work out to it. I can run to it. I can do things to it. I just can't sit still to it.
Right.
But then you take, that's kind of what, and I do, I have listeners that have great setups and they love their music and they just sit in their theaters, in their man caves, and they'll just listen to music, which I can, I just can't sit still. But then at right. the same time, it's kind of what Transformers is. It's just like right. a really long music
good,
video.
Right, it's a good soundtrack.
Yeah, and you just sit there, or like Rocky IV. It's fantastic right. music video.
Which is really just, yeah, it's just a bunch of music videos is all that movie
that's
is.
That's all that is. And that's being remastered and coming out in the next like week or so, right? That's fairly
yeah,
soon.
I need to go see that. I forgot that was coming.
Yeah, that's extra footage. I don't know what you could add to that.
I don't know, but 40 minutes of it. So
40 minutes of... Like
it's another 40-minute music video. I hope they got Survivor back, you know.
40 more minutes of Stallone training, like, naturally, and Drago
yeah.
getting injected. How big exactly. is he going to get? Like, 40 more minutes of steroids. Oh, yeah. But exactly. That it's just all of that stuff that's what we like to have. Let me ask you this. What's your absolute, like... If I said, name your favorite guilty pleasure, like most people hate, but you just love to see.
Oh, man. I don't know.
In a home theater environment. I was like, it has to be a home theater, John. I don't want to talk
yeah,
about that.
I
you
was
going to
say, yeah, there's definitely things, but, oh, man, I don't know.
I got a list of them. Okay. Daredevil. I was just talking about this a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, Daredevil is really good.
I just tweeted about that like
well, it's
a
good
week
with
or
the,
so
like
ago.
You said, with the sound, it's good because of, like we said, it's a crappy movie that has good sound mix.
Yeah, but know? I think the movie's made better by the sound because it's a movie about a right. deaf guy that uses sonar to right. have this superpower of sight. And I think they nail it in the movie. And you watch that movie, especially the director's cut, the... You know, extended version.
Right.
It sounds so good, and it looks pretty good too. It's only Blu-ray. It's not a 4K.
Yeah.
I wish that movie would get a 4K with an Atmos sound, but it's still.
Awesome.
I absolutely yeah. love that movie. It's a lot of fun, and I call it a guilty pleasure, but I don't feel guilty.
Right.
I'm like, I enjoy the heck out of it.
I don't know. I can't think of one that everybody dislikes. I mean, there's definitely movies that I love that I can just watch a million times over and over again, but I wouldn't say they're guilty pleasures.
What's funny, what I've found is, like, especially with this, with my listeners, the home theater people, you find it's not a guilty thing. There's all, you know
well,
what I
right.
mean? Like, what most of the public would consider as bad in our world,
right.
we understand. We don't even consider it as bad. We just think it's...
Well, right. But even most of the ones I would come up with are not ones that most people think are bad, you know?
Oh, so, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What about Lucy? That's one that, like, the story itself, people look
yeah,
at that story and
I mean,
go, that is horrible. Like, you have to see that in a home theater. Because yeah. once you get into a home theater, you even forgot there is a story. That thing just
yeah.
bombards you with sound.
Yeah.
And the imagery, too. Her eye and everything. And the,
And it's also, it's Scarlet. So, I mean.
I said the imagery.
Yeah. Can't be that bad. Well, Aeon Flux, that's another one, right? Like, that's not a great movie, really, but.
What? A movie about a pandemic hits the world and they yeah. try to vaccinate everybody and oops, they accidentally
it's
like
they all go sterile.
They all go sterile because they didn't test the vaccination. What could go wrong there?
Yeah. but yeah, that again, not a great movie, but I like it.
I love that movie. Scarlett? She's
yeah.
That's
Charlize.
Charlize, sorry. I meant
yeah,
to say
that's
that.
Charlize.
Yeah, Charlize. Yeah. She's awesome in everything.
Yeah.
I can't think of a movie I don't like her in. And Atomic Blonde. Fantastic.
That's another one, though. Not a great movie.
it's John Wick.
It's definitely John Wick. But.
To be fair, I think that's... I mean, the sound and picture in that movie is fantastic. I've reviewed that
yeah.
one here.
Yeah, it's great.
But I think it's actually a better story than John Wick.
It's Jane Wick.
It's Jane Wick. Did you hear that they wanted to cross them over?
Oh, no.
You didn't hear that? I'm no. like, how the hell are they going to do that? Because her movie takes place in the 80s.
Yeah.
His takes place modern.
His place now, right. His is current.
Unless they had him, like an origin story of him, and he just, because, you know, like John Wick has powers.
Right.
That's the only thing we haven't seen. They haven't explicitly said yet. Until well, now, where they dropped right. him off a building. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to find
just
out.
Berserker.
And she's from, what's the comic that she's doing right now that we love the book on?
Charlize?
Yeah, it's the same thing as Berserker. Not out of time. Charlize, the Netflix movie. And it has the comic.
Old Guard.
Which is basically Berserker. They both have these... Keanu and Charlize have these two movies that are crossing over into comics as well that match up very, very well. But yeah, I think...
I'm trying to go through my list of movies. Brightburn is definitely another one.
That's a decent movie, though.
It's okay.
It's a great...
Hurricane Heist, right?
There you go.
Right there.
Yeah. Have you recommended that to anybody?
No, because I don't know anybody that's really into this.
See, okay, so yeah, that would be a guilty pleasure one. Like, yeah, you kind of keep that one a secret.
Yeah.
Hurricane Heist. Hurricane Heist, it's in the... It's like if they had another back room at the rental store.
Right. It's got a different set of saloon doors.
Exactly. There's a saloon.
Different beaded doorway to walk
different
through.
Different beaded doorway for like, these movies aren't very good, but if you're into home theater.
Right.
And you got to look over your shoulder for you. Does Amy see me going in there?
There's a guy with a trench coat and some headphones, some Beats back there. You know? He's like.
Does anybody see me going in here? Oh, he's going in for the crappy movies. The shameful home theater movie.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But yeah, it's funny when I said, have you recommended? I go on and I do a whole podcast to people about it. And it's like, and anybody that did like it, you can't tell anybody about it.
Right. Right. Because that's the thing. You're the only other one that cares. So you told me about it.
I sent it to you.
Yeah.
You went kicking and screaming.
I did.
It's like, yeah, whatever. Where can I get it? Oh, go out in your doorstep.
Yeah, go on and pick it up. And it was probably there for like 3 days before I found it because I didn't know it was coming.
I know. I got the notice that it got delivered when we were recording and I didn't want to say anything because I wanted to surprise you, and it wasn't until like 2 days later you're like, hey, did you send me this? No. Yeah.
No, it's somebody else sent it to me.
Yeah.
Some rando that knew my address.
A bad movie fairy.
Right.
Oh. But yeah, that's what we do. That's what we love. We just want to hear things go boom.
Yep.
What's wrong with that, John?
I mean, it could be worse. It could be worse things. That's what I tell my wife whenever I buy something new. It's like, I could be out drinking or doing other things.
Or doing a podcast while drinking.
Right. be thankful that I just want to stay home and watch movies. You know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's worse things we could be doing, John.
Yep.
All right. It's late. It's been a long night. Another anniversary. We've had 3 years at chat.
Yep.
2 years at home theater.
So it's 5 years altogether.
5 years of podcasting altogether. Oh, John. All right. And I'll wind the show up with saying this. It's like, I love sitting down here every week talking home theater. And I started by myself sitting here. And then the listeners come in, and I've said it in the podcast to my listeners. I've said it to you in the past, but I'll say it again. I owe it all to you because...
Thank you, man. I think you give me too much credit, but I appreciate that.
I wouldn't... No, I flat out... I mean, pardon my French. I wouldn't have the balls to do this by myself. And it was like we started the podcast with, we we had a blast doing it, but we went, there's a lot of trials and tribulations when you start.
It was a rough, road to hoe before we got, started. But
before you see the professional display yeah. in front of you right now, if you're watching on YouTube, it was ugly. No, and it was, but it's like, you think it's just sit down and talk. And it doesn't. It's not that way. It took us a while to get here. It took me a while to get the stones to be able to do this by myself. And it was right. working with you and literally working. I mean, we have fun doing this every week, and I don't right. want to stop. And we said when we started, as long as we sit down and talk every week, we don't care if anybody's even listening. And it's still the case. But it's being able to have talk home theater like this and find... Like, I have other, you know, I've always had you to talk home theater with, but you listen to, like, the HD guys, the AV Rant guys, and I talk to all these other people, and they all have these friends that, right. And they've grown up with these friends. They've met them in the industry, or they're in, I've never had that. Right. I've always, it's just been me. I can call you, and we, right. you and I would talk, but, like.
Well, like I just said, I don't have anybody to talk about it with.
Exactly.
If it's not you.
Yeah.
I've got one customer that comes in that's sort of into it, and we'll talk about things every once in a while. But yeah, I don't have anybody to talk about this
yeah.
with.
It's so. It's a very rare thing, and now I have all these listeners that are just like it, that just the feedback and everything like that, it's opened up a whole world for me. My wife's even like, you're a lot happier now. Right. I'm like, good. Yeah, well, that's John.
It's a good thing. Yeah.
And so anniversary number 2, I owe it to you. We got to get back.
Well, thank you.
You got to come back more often.
Yeah.
Because I love just sitting down talking when we break down movies and we can do individual movies together. But yeah, thank you very much. Really appreciate
it. Well, you're welcome.
And, if you want to hear more of John and I talk, you can listen to us on Brightside Chat.
On Brightside Chat every week. You'll have too much by then.
Yeah, you hear me all by myself, and then you can hear John and I 2 hours a week. And for some reason, we always come in right around that mark.
Yep, because we're pros, and we know how
we
to
don't
do
know
a
how
show.
To tighten it up to an hour.
Right.
We're not
but
that.
We know how to keep it at 2.
We know how to keep it at 2. Yeah. Case of a few weeks ago, you just flat out pass out.
Yeah, I just was done. I gotta go. I'm done.
You did wrap that show up with, I know you're gonna be angry, but I gotta go. Yeah. I'm like, I know. All right. Thank you very much, John. Thank you to everybody making these 2 years awesome. Just all the questions, comments, everything I get, take over. That's why we're doing Takeover Tuesdays. Thank you, guys. I owe everything to John, but without the listeners, it's just John and I hanging out talking, and you guys make it awesome. And I know we talk about it all the time, like, hey, check it, because we're getting comments on chat. I get comments here. And it's thrilling. It's amazing. Every time you get a comment, you're just like, wow, they really are. They're still listening, John. They're still listening. Yeah. So
they like
thank
me.
Yeah, they might not like us, but they're listening.
But they're listening. They're listening. True. Right. That's true. There's a distinction there.
I'm not asking for a lot. I didn't say you had to like it. Just listen.
We got a bunch of hate listeners.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. It's like, I mean, love us, hate us. It's an emotion. I'm happy to be triggering something. But all right. Thank you, everybody. Have a great week. John, we are having you back soon, maybe at Christmas time. I don't know. It's up to you.
Okay.
You're just such a busy guy watching all
I
that
am
content.
I am so busy. Yes. So all right, busy guys. Watching TV.
I'll be back on Tuesday. Have a great weekend, everybody, and go push play. Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production. With theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.